You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
I spoke to human rights activist Mairi Leadbeater from West Papua Action about human rights violations committed by the Indonesian government in West Papua. The WPA have called for New Zealand government to cut its military ties with Indonesia and demand justice for the atrocities committed. I started off by asking what the human rights issues the WPA are most concerned with.
We're concerned about ongoing violence since the early 1960s, something like 57 years of persecution and violence against the indigenous West Papuan people. It's really as simple as that. Indonesia took over the territory in the early 60s, and ever since then the indigenous people have been subject to violence in all kinds of forms. It just doesn't include, these days, it doesn't include killings. It's really conditions of life. The fact that the whole country is being turned into some kind of development zone with new roads, new infrastructure, huge palm oil plantations destroying the lands, the forests and the food baskets of the indigenous people. So the suffering is acute. What we're looking at right at the moment is an escalation of violence that's in some ways unprecedented. It started with an attack, in some ways very sad attack, on some construction workers. And of course this happened because the local people do not want these roads crisscrossing their territory. They do not want this development. And as a result of this attack and violence, there's a reprisal going on with the Indonesian security forces attacking not just the seeking the perpetrators, of course, but the people who are caught in the crossfire are ordinary civilians. And we've heard in the last couple of weeks that there have been civilian deaths and huge fears for the well-being of ordinary civilian people in the area, ordinary villagers, because what they do when they fear this violence is they flee their homes and gardens into the forest. And what happens then, of course, is that they suffer from starvation and illness. So it's a very hideous sort of escalation of violence, and we think New Zealand has a role to play. New Zealand's always
and what
been.
What is New Zealand's current involvement?
New Zealand's current involvement is it always supports Indonesia's control of the territory. Doesn't seem to matter how much evidence we put before our government that Indonesia took control in an illegitimate way. That's a long story too, but Indonesia's control is definitely contentious. The people were always denied what every people in the world has a right to, and that's the right to self-determination. We put all that evidence before the government. We put the evidence of what's happening to the indigenous people now. But our government still says repeatedly that they support Indonesia's sovereignty over West Papua.
And sure, so the government's role hasn't wavered. It's always been consistent.
It has not wavered. No, it has not wavered since the 1960s, and it's about jolly time it did. I mean, the documented evidence of the human rights violations just continues to mount. We're thinking this week about a massacre that happened 4 years ago in December when four schoolboys were murdered by security forces. And, you know, this happened sort of with endless witnesses, and yet nothing's ever been done to bring those people to account. So that's sort of a particularly poignant account of what sometimes happens when the security forces are angry. You know, it's just indiscriminate violence. And I think one of the worst things about New Zealand's role is that we actually support the Indonesian military. We don't just support Indonesia diplomatically. We actually help the Indonesian military in a small way, you could say, but every year we have an Indonesian officer come here and train at our advanced command and staff course. And just recently I've been digging into this a bit more because I wanted to find out the true extent of it all. And I don't know that I've even got to the total bottom, but I have found that we do export aircraft parts, military aircraft parts, the C-130s and Orion and other military aircraft. And I've also found that we supply their crack anti-terrorism unit, a unit called Detachment 88, with electronic equipment. So in many ways, that's quite a degree of support for the Indonesian military, and yet we know, you know, I don't think anyone can deny that the Indonesian military is never brought to account for its crimes. Never brought to account for its crimes in East Timor, for example. And the whole world knows about those and how bad they were.
Would you say it's plausible for New Zealand's military relationship to be reapplied and the relationship rethought?
No, it should just be
total
suspended.
Withdrawal.
Yeah, well, suspended, say. I suppose there might be a time and things were different, but at least suspended, if not terminated. After all, we did terminate our military ties with Indonesia in the wake of the violence, the 1999 violence in East Timor, you know, when the militia went rampant and the military were backing them and, you know, hundreds were killed. We actually broke off our military ties then. We didn't resume them till 2007. We had no reason to resume them in 2007. We should not have done that, and we should now reconsider. That's simple as that. And if we don't, I think it's just shameful, you know. We're a country that knows about the rights of Indigenous people. We try to
look at
the rights and wrongs. Yeah, we pride ourselves on looking back at history and trying to right the wrongs and having a treaty to address those wrongs. You know, obviously there's criticism of how well we do that too, but, you know, we don't just completely deny it ever happened. But that's what we're doing in the case of West Papua. We're just saying, oh, Indonesia's got the right to control it. We don't go any further than that. Don't look at the fact, you know. If you do look, and you do, I mean, even the UN Human Rights Commissioner's office came out recently with statements about what was happening in West Papua and was critical of the enormous number of arrests. See, that's the other thing that happened just recently. There were 500 West Papuans were arrested around about December 1. Why were they arrested? Simply because they were out on the streets with banners commemorating December the 1st, 1961, which is when they thought they were getting their independence. The Dutch allowed them to raise their Morning Star flag for the first time. Very special, sacred day for West Papuans. Hugely important day for West Papuans. But anyone who tries to market in West Papua, especially if they try to show a flag, boom, arrest.
Did our government comment on that?
No. Ordinary people all around New Zealand held December the 1st flag-raising commemoration. They did, you know, and there are people in our parliament, good people in our parliament, who joined some of those commemorations. Porter Williams down in Christchurch, a government MP. But so far they haven't shifted government policy.
Are there any governments that do support the plight of West?
The main government in the world that supports the plight of the West Papuan people and always has is Vanuatu. They're the leader. They have got some other Pacific nations joining them in the United Nations, speaking out for West Papuan self-determination. And next year, Vanuatu's already foreshadowed it wants to take a resolution to the UN General Assembly calling for West Papua to be back on the UN decolonisation list. And that's a very right and very correct thing to be doing. And if New Zealand doesn't support that, it'll be totally shameful. They've still got a bit of time to consider that one because it's not till General Assembly next year. But Vanuatu, small, brave, principled policy, but they do need support. They're a small country. They need support. They need New Zealand desperately.
And what can ordinary listeners do about this?
There's a burgeoning West Papua solidarity movement throughout the country. You know, the main centres and some smaller centres too. Napier and Nelson have got networks. So join with those networks. Oh, it's a great thing to do, and also, of course, support our call. Write letters to the paper, say you don't think New Zealand should have military ties with Indonesia, you don't think we should be importing kwila hardwood from West Papuan forests at the expense of the Papuan people. Just bring it up, you know, just keep talking about it, because one of the things about West Papua is it stays invisible, largely, and the reason for that, many reasons for that, but one of them is that, you know, journalists basically can't go there, international journalists. And that's why, even at the moment, we know about the sad event with the construction workers and we know about the violence that's followed it, but it's always hard to be absolutely sure of all the details because you're relying on reports. I mean, I rely on reports from church leaders and people I know are trying their best to get the details as accurately as possible, but it's still, you know, still a wee bit difficult to do that.
Well, that's all my questions for today, but do you have any final comments at all?
No, just good to talk with you, and I hope that, at this time of the year, people do have a little bit of room in their heart for the Indigenous people of West Papua and what they're going through and try to get our government to do its bit.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
I hope people do this time of year, you know. Support oppressed people everywhere.
It's good we had quite a mature sting after that.
Yeah.
Instead of the fucked.
I thought best to do a serious one. Well, serious-ish. Yes, but that was Myri from the West Papua Action. talking about the human rights violations and why we should cut ties with the Indonesian military. Thanks for that, Angus. Great first interview for your first wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.